All right, guys, welcome back to RTW's Wild History Ride. I'm Thomas.
I'm Will.
And I'm Rhonda.
And we had a bit of fun here practicing beforehand, messing with our voices and sounding just plain weird.
I loved it.
Well, you've got something to look forward to in October when we do some of our scary episodes.
That's going to be like scary. We have to like title it weird or not weird, but you know, like for all of October, it's like some weird title in the front, you know, to scare people.
I did have a customer one time when I was working in a grocery store tell me I have a sexy, smooth radio voice. I think I can pull that off for our October episodes.
I think you could too, especially because like Audacity, you can kind of lower stuff too.
I don't need it at all. I can get low enough to where it does that weird bass tone.
Like the reverberation, like bass on the thing or whatever?
Yes, I can.
Yes. What'd you say you sounded like?
Oh, a male Elvira.
That would be good.
Okay. But getting into the actual meat of the episode, what are we talking about today?
Well, this is actually a listener-suggested podcast, and it's kind of in a roundabout way, how did the Western Native American tribes acquire horses? Okay, while horses aren't native to the Americas, there was an ancestor of the horses that died out about 13,000 years ago. So the Spanish reintroduced horses to the Americas in the 1500s. Cortez brought 16 horses to mainland America in 1519.
Aren't they also the reason for cattle and pigs being in the Americas?
Yes.
Could you imagine not having that? Like, what would we eat? Rocks? I don't know. I'm not going to be vegan.
And llamas.
I'm not going to be
deer,
vegan.
Deer, I guess. Yeah.
How does a llama?
Chickens.
Turkey. Remember? We had wild turkey. We still have wild turkey. Yeah.
What about llama? What does a llama taste like?
I don't know. And I don't think I want to know.
Gamey?
No.
I don't know.
And like an alpaca. They're kind of cute.
They are cute. I couldn't do that.
No.
They spit and they're mean.
Ew.
Both of them are. Alpacas and llamas are both.
They spit. They do spit.
Still, I don't think of anything I want to have an alpaca steak or anything like that.
It's not actual spit. It's like bile duct stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're like, listen, like here's the bile from my freaking gallbladder or something.
They're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did kind of hijack this.
Well, I'm sorry, but we started talking about alpacas and they're mean.
This is actually, y'all, this is the history of alpacas.
No, we're not doing the history of alpacas. I apologize, but it's just. You can't deny anything that spits on you is rude.
My patients?
Well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe you've done something to tick them off.
No, you're just existing in their presence.
Y'all, that's a big line of hate, like just spit on somebody.
And as I said, it's not spit. It is basically they're vomiting on you.
Ew.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, let me go back to, Will's question about what would we do, you know, pigs and cattle and all this stuff.
Maybe it was Thomas. And cows and horses.
Yeah, apparently, yes, you're right. And the Spanish introduced all of that.
Yeah.
And actually, what they did as far as like the pigs, they would turn the pigs loose in different areas as they traveled across the country. And then when they came back through those areas, the pigs were still there and were thriving.
Yeah,
and so they could basically harvest or however you want to say it.
They almost breed like rabbits.
Yes.
I mean, why we have such a bad feral hog problem.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, like there are videos, I remember videos like of just all the hogs out there, you know?
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, it works. If you need food, you got plenty of it. Yeah. They're definitely not an endangered species.
Oh, no.
No.
So.
Okay, to get back on track. So, Cortez, as I said, brought 16 horses to the mainland, and then we go out west. The Spaniards arrived in the New Mexico region around 1540 during the Coronado Expedition, and the expedition was tasked with finding gold, silver, and routes to the Indies, and also acquiring land.
I feel like we've heard this before from several different explorers.
Yeah, yeah. It does have a theme. 2,000 troops traveled to the Zuni village, and I'll try to say this as closely as I can. Hopefully, I've got this pronounced correctly, and I apologize beforehand if I don't.
Save your emails.
Hawiku.
Oh, you did that so wrong.
Hawaika. Hawaika. I'm sorry. Hawaika. Yeah.
That was funny.
How wake up.
I just laughed. I'm sorry.
About like that.
I'm sorry that Hawaika. Big laugh.
Hawaika.
Hawaika.
That was good.
Okay.
I'm sorry I laughed so hard. That was just funny because we practiced it. She
did it perfectly during practice.
Yep.
Okay, well, I won't do it anymore.
She's like, I just won't research anymore. Yeah.
It's okay, Mom.
Okay. And the Spaniards, the troops attacked and seized the city. After the Zuni, who lived in the village, refused to provide the Spaniards with food and shelter. And I'm not going to go into the details a lot of the details as far as how the Native American tribes, or the Pueblo in this case, were treated. I'll do a little bit.
Just know it was bad.
Yeah. It was bad. So there was a lot of conflict, but Coronado left the area in 1541, and the Spaniards didn't return in the New Mexico area until 1598. And this time...
So it was 50 years ago? Or 50 years later?
Yes. Yeah, it was a considerable time later.
Yeah.
So this time the Spanish brought settlers and priests. And over the next 80 years, they were settling the area, occupying the region. They were subjugating the Puebloan people, mm-hmm. forcing them into labor, forcing them to pay tributes, forbidding the Puebloan ceremonial practices. And by the way, we're talking about villages, and actually they would be called pueblos.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear pueblo, I think most people think of a small dwelling,
yeah,
or
that, yeah.
maybe a two-story dwelling. Actually, it was more of a village.
Oh, wow.
Well, see, we were taught in school that a pueblo was a single building made from mud.
It's like, yeah, like mud and clay. Clay. Yeah.
Now, in this context, it was more settlements.
Okay.
Okay.
So there was a group of houses, usually two stories.
Oh, yeah.
But,
wow.
Yeah. So see, not just a single dwelling.
Yeah, that's what we were taught pueblos were. They were two-story buildings shaped from basically clay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. no, in this case, no, it's more of a settlement. And so the often these settlements or pueblos fought back against the Spanish, but usually they weren't successful. Usually the Spanish discovered what was going on before they were completely organized and either killed the rebels or sold them as slaves.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, who's loose lips? I'm telling you. I wish they could have gotten them earlier.
Well, yeah. You got to think. If you're going to be subjugating someone, you're going to want to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you don't want to get killed in the middle of the night.
I've never subjugated somebody, surprisingly.
Me neither.
Not
our
a hobby.
Our ancestors probably did.
Which probably. Is so sad.
Pretty much every continent has done it, so.
It ain't new.
You really can't look back at any culture and say at one point in time they didn't do something bad.
Man, there's bad people in every culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will go into just a little bit of this. One of the rebellions occurred at the Acoma Pueblo in 1598 when the Acoma refused to pay a food tax to the Spanish, and the Acoma tried to negotiate, but eventually... fighting broke out between the Acoma and the Spanish, and leaving, I'm trying to say this also correctly, the Spanish captain Juan de Zaldivar dead, along with 11 of his men.
Mm.
The Spanish retaliated by storming the Pueblo in January of 1599. Out of an estimated 6,000 people living in and around the Acoma Pueblo, 500 Acoma warriors died in the battle, along with 300 women and children, and most of the captives were enslaved. So there was a lot of bad feeling there. I'm sure I'm underestimating it, but you can just imagine. I mean, this was going on for years, back and forth, trying to get freedom from the Spanish and then being pulled back into, I guess, slavery more or less.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You can't blame them. I mean, their whole way of life is being threatened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They brought priests to convert them. They weren't allowed to practice their religion. So it was bad all the way around.
Yeah.
So in the 1660s and 1670s, life for the Puebloans became increasingly difficult. Drought and unusually high temperatures led to famine, and the Spanish added to the misery by seizing crops and possessions.
So that's like starve them into submission.
Exactly. At one point, they said that the Puebloans were chewing on leather straps for nutrition. Terrible.
Yeah, that's just so, that's so sad.
Yeah.
All right, well, to kind of keep rebellion down, because obviously that was going to break out, because they wanted to get away from this and to make their lives better. In 1675, Governor Juan Francisco Trevino, hopefully I got that one right.
The tongue twister.
Ordered the arrest of 47 Pueblo leaders or medicine men. And three of these were hung. And then 70 warriors arrived at the governor's office in Santa Fe and demanded the rest of the prisoners be released. And the governor went ahead and released the remaining prisoners because his troops were away fighting the Apaches.
Oh.
So he didn't have any way to resist the warriors when they made these demands.
Yeah.
Now, one of those released was Pope. I hope I'm saying that one correctly. And he was from the San Juan Pueblo. And it's estimated he was probably in his mid-40s when he was arrested. And he was described as a fierce, dynamic person, and he inspired respect. So he was looked up to.
Oh, that's great.
So after his release, he began to plan a rebellion. He wanted to drive the Spanish completely from the area and for his people to begin to recover their culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had secret negotiations with leaders from other pueblos over a period of 5 years. So this was a long, drawn-out plan.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's playing the long game, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this ranged from the Pecos Pueblo, which was 50 miles east of the Rio Grande, to the Zuni and Hopi Pueblo, which was the Zuni was about 120 miles. The Hopi was about 200 miles west of the Rio Grande. And they were committed. They had committed themselves to making this happen.
Well, yeah. And just think about, you know, nowadays we could just shoot a text to a friend across, you know, the state or like, you know, across the continent.
They had to send messages. Yeah. Messengers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what happened. The date was, for the attack was set as August the 11th, 1680. And runners were sent to the different pueblos. And what they were carrying was knotted ropes or cords. And so the pueblo leaders were to untie one knot each day until the last knot was untied. And when that happened, that signaled the day of the attack.
Oh,
that
wow.
Last knot. And that was pretty cool.
I hope they didn't forget a day. I hope they didn't forget a day.
Well, I guess they had to stage the runners to make sure they got there at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
But two runners were caught by the Spanish, and after torture, they revealed what the knots on the cords or ropes meant. So once the rebellion leaders realized that their plan had been discovered, they sent out new instructions to the pueblos with the revolt will start the next day. So on August 10th, 1680, the pueblos and even the Apaches began the rebellion. By August 13th, all Spanish settlements in the province had been destroyed. And so the settlers who could make it, who were not killed, fled to Santa Fe, which was the capital.
Yeah.
And warriors arrived in Santa Fe. There were approximately 2,500 warriors that surrounded the governor's palace by August 15th. And the palace was under siege. And on August 21st, the Spanish managed to break out of the palace and push the warriors out of Santa Fe. And so the refugees from the city, the Spaniards, fled south. And the Puebloan warriors, they didn't want to kill all of these people. They just wanted them to leave. They wanted to, you know, recover their culture,
exactly.
Like I said, and to begin to live for themselves and not under the Spanish rule.
Yeah.
So they didn't, you know, once they started fleeing the city, they didn't kill them, but they did follow them to make sure they left. And they, the refugees arrived in El Paso on September 27th. So that was just a little over a month after leaving Santa Fe.
Golly, and following them for that extended period of time, too. They were dedicated. Yeah. They were like, listen, y'all get out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, we're tired of this. Leave.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the Spanish were kept out of the region for the next 12 years.
Wow.
It makes you wonder, like, what kind of plan that would be. Like, you know, how would you make sure that they didn't just come back and retake you and stuff like that, you know?
I'm sure. I mean, I didn't research it, but I'm sure there was back and forth. But maybe there just wasn't enough Spanish interest at that time to recover from something like that.
That's a big undertaking, too. Like, they've overtaken everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so when the Spanish fled, most of their livestock was left behind, possibly as many as 1,500 horses. So while the pueblos were primarily sedentary, they were surrounded by nomadic tribes. And we're talking about the Navajo, the Apache. So you can just imagine that after trading and raiding, the horses were distributed over the American West. I mean, so many of these Native American cultures, when you think of them on horseback.
Yeah,
or you
really
think
do.
Of them horses.
That's what
on horses.
That's a picture, the common picture you see in history classes.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. So, you know, they didn't always have horses, but they adapted them into their culture very quickly you know, made them quite useful. And like I said, you just don't think of some of these Native American peoples without horses. And so that's how the horse came to the American West.
It makes me wonder, do you think at that time like, they saw horses as like a way or like some kind of animal that was like a symbol of freedom or something like that? I don't know. I would have looked at it like that. Like, man, like, you know, I think of a free, you know, Native American person on a horse. Like, that's such a cool, you know, picture to see, I feel like.
Or power.
Yeah.
Power
yep.
and value. You could travel. You had something that could carry your goods,
mm-hmm.
that could carry you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would say power and freedom.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, we don't learn about these things in school. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like we don't get told that because I guess it's, you know, offensive to say or kind of you can't really teach it. You know, I don't know what their whole philosophy is.
There's so much that they try and force feed so much into us.
Yeah.
That they leave out the details of so much important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we were little kids, we were taught, oh, Christopher Columbus was great.
Yeah,
And then now they're being taught that Christopher Columbus was 100% evil.
Like colonizer or stuff like that.
And neither one's entirely true. You're getting one side of a picture. When we should be teaching history from a fact base, not emotion base.
I know. Well, I mean, because we really can't change the fact of, you know, how...
The culture back then. I mean, no. If they live nowadays, the things they did, they'd
wouldn't
be arrested
okay.
for. Yeah. But... We cannot put our morals on them.
The 2021 morals on it.
So that's where we need to go as a society is look at the facts. Like the facts were some Spaniards did bad things. People fought back and actually managed to revolt.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work every time.
I think you could look at it as a lesson too. Like Rhonda's been saying, it's like, you know, it ended up having some powerful movement out of this. So that's the important thing of it. And you can look at it as a celebration of like trying to get back your culture. And that's what the important thing is. And it's sad that they had to do that, but also it's inspiring.
Yeah,
it is. And I actually think that's the only successful pushback or rebellion, I guess, against an invader.
Yeah.
At the
very least, it has the longest running before there's any more issues.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you said like, 12 years later, I guess they were
They came back into the region. But yes, and I guess I should say rebellion against Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it is
interesting. And you're right. When I was in school, I don't remember much about the American West other than maybe the railroad, you know, that type
stuff.
Yeah,
we were told about that. Honestly, I don't even remember us being told about the whole issues with Chinese immigrants through the railroads. We were just told very basic stuff about the railroad expanding west.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And just researching this, and I've got some pages pulled up right here that I'm scanning through. I mean, in 1598, there were approximately 40,000 Pueblo Native Americans in the New Mexico region. And you just don't think about large numbers of people in this country at that time.
Well, no, and I feel like our thing was never, I don't think we ever talked about Native Americans that much in history that I can remember.
Well, we kind of did in certain regions, but again, we have a problem of lumping everybody of one group together.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be like,
So we weren't separating the Zuni and any of that. It was just one big group.
Well, I think of like, you know, the big ones. It's like, oh, the, you know, gosh.
Apache,
the Apaches. Cherokee, and Powhatans or whatever.
Yeah,
Powhatans.
And Mohawk and all that.
Yep.
Like, did you know that the Mohawk are part of there's a actual nation group of Indians, mm-hmm. the Iroquois.
Yeah, I do know them.
Native Americans.
I'm sorry. Whatever. American Indian, Native American, however people want
I think
to
some
use
people
the term.
Do identify as Indians as well. I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard people say Native American.
Yeah.
Whatever term is appropriate if I don't know what tribe you're originally from.
It's not hateful.
So they're like the Iroquois Confederacy, the Oneida, the Mohawk, and I think there's two others mm-hmm. that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. But we weren't taught that. We were just taught the Iroquois.
Yep.
In school.
A lump sum, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, we weren't even taught the different tribes in Alabama.
No. I wouldn't have even known. I mean, you hear about it now. Like, I remember, you know, my grandmother, she used to go out and hunt for, what are those?
Arrowheads.
And she used to, you know, she'd be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we had these different tribes and stuff around here. And she would know that kind of stuff. I was like, it's cool.
Yeah, while researching this, I just found all kinds of information on the, I guess, Western Native Americans. So you should research it.
That should be another podcast.
We could probably cover several different groups.
We definitely could.
And I would love to do that. I would love to, because I think that that's very important because, I don't know. I mean, I guess you get more of the college stuff. Like, you can delve into things in particular in college about, like, you know, maybe in not such a PC way or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of wish I would have taken more history in college. It's been years since I've taken a history class.
Yeah, I...
How can you say that? I mean, RTW's Wild History Ride.
I know, but no, we're doing it in a fun way. Like, we are. You know, I opted out. I took AP History, and I made a 5 on that exam, y'all. My teacher was very proud. I didn't have to take any history in college.
I think I took 3 history classes.
I would have loved to. Like, in retrospect, I would have loved to do it. Like, that could have been a fun, like, aside, you know, into class, I feel like.
Well, I'm trying to think. Now, my first history class was ancient civilizations, like Mesopotamian, Babylonian.
Yep.
Sumerian, all that. Excuse me, sorry.
Burp.
Yes. And then we just moved forward progressively. And then my second class, we would have started, I think it started in like the 1500s,
yeah.
15, 1600s. And I remember we got just past the Romanovs.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's been a long time since I've looked at a history class or history book.
Oh, yeah.
In that context.
Oh, yeah. Me too, obviously.
But even then it was motivated. It wasn't just like free expression of facts. It was, oh, well, so-and-so was evil because they wanted this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, no, they did this because of this because this guy did this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, I think that things, like, people just always look at things like, oh, he was inherently evil.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's, I mean, but, and granted, yes, it was like there were evil acts done and atrocities, and of course, but it's also like the sign of the times a little bit, which is so unfortunate. Like, that's not saying that. But
you can't also deny. I mean, we can look back in history and say, okay, there were situations that made this happen. But then we can also say that there were some people in history that were truly evil or mentally ill to do the things they did.
Yep.
But that is for another episode because we're not doing any more rabbit holes tonight. That's the end of the episode, guys. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. Like I said, I've learned a lot, and there's a lot more out there that's very, very interesting as far as the American West and what happened to the peoples of the American West and how they interacted. But, you know, like you say, it's time to wrap it up. And I just want to encourage everybody to download and share and let us know what you think.
Yeah. And I'm just glad that this episode went off without a hitch with no technical difficulties. And, you know, that's perfect.
Wink, wink.
I might throw something at Will in a few minutes.
You got to address it because it'll make you feel better.
All right, guys. See you next time.
All right, bye.
Until next week.